Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I'm so happy you're here with me today because I really need you today. I need you to just to share what's going on right now in my life and the sadness that's happening in my town. If you are following the news, if you're somebody who follows the news very closely, this story has actually become national news. Trending. That's the word. Not a tough one. Trending on Twitter, there was a deadly rampage in Taunton, Massachusetts yesterday. That's an adjacent town to mine and where my church is. And six people were stabbed, and the assailant was shot and killed. Two have passed away. One was a parishioner at my parish. She was 80 years old. Her name was Pat Slavin. I want you to add her to your prayers, please. Just one of the kindest, gentlest, sweetest, caring. You know when somebody dies and everyone has something nice to say about them? That's all I have to say about her. She just always had a smile, always willing to help out, and I am devastated and heartbroken, along with my whole parish, my parish community, my pastor, her family, her friends. This is just horrific. And all she was doing was sitting in her home with her daughter, maybe enjoying a meal, maybe just finishing one, and in comes somebody who doesn't belong there, who's just sadly very mentally disturbed, tried to get help for himself, was released from the very hospital she worked as a nurse for so many years. Just very tragic. So as this was all unfolding, and I've had a really high week of anxiety to begin with, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, I decided that today's show was going to be about anxiety. I was talking about doing Brandon Vaught's book, Return, you know, bringing your children back to the faith. And I think we'll tackle that book tomorrow. But today, I want us to talk about anxiety and fear and how we overcome it, if we can overcome it. I've discovered in my own anxiety that there is some of it I can and there is some of it I cannot control. But what can I control and how can I increase what I can control? I've gone from being a warrior at least nine years old. I remember going for an upper GI series on my stomach. And I think it had to be 9 or 10, maybe even younger, but I'm thinking around 9 or 10 years old because I had a nervous stomach. I have always been a warrior, always. Always afraid something bad's going to happen. And if something bad does happen, it just sends me even further into my fear and my anxiety, and I have panic attacks. Oh, I'm just a mess. But I'm discovering as I take these things from inside my head and speak them out loud, take them from the darkness, with the darkness where the evil one has reign, because he is the prince of darkness. When it's in my head, when the words are kept to myself, when these fears and anxieties and all of this that I make so huge in my head, when I speak it out loud, I then give it to Christ, the Prince of Light, the one who can calm my storms, right? He stood up in the middle of that storm on that boat with the apostles and said, stop, stop. And isn't that sometimes when that storm is racing in your head, you're trying to say, stop, stop. Like you can see the swells coming, you know, like just a little ripples at first, but you know that the bigger storm is coming, that you're going to have that panic attack, that you're going to have that moment where you just can no longer hold in the fear, the tears, the hyperventilation, whatever it is that you get. I get, the sweats. I get lightheaded. I often feel like I'm having a heart attack. My arm goes numb. All these wonderful, wonderful physical emotions, that feelings that just overtake you. And I'm discovering, as I open my mouth more and more, as I share my anxiety struggles, as I share what brings me anxiety, I am finding I'm not alone. That there are many, many, many people who, like me, feel these same ways. It's the same ways. The same way that struggle with the same thing. And our world is just getting more and more frightening. Though I'm sure that the people who lived during the Holocaust or during the Christian persecutions and would have said, hey, it was kind of scarier back then, people. There's always something to be anxious for, because we live in a fallen world and we have free will. And some use it for goodness and kindness and caring, like dear Pat Slavin, and other people use it to harm and to hurt. And innocent people have been harmed. A 56-year-old man whose name has not yet been released. I pray for him, for his family, who are all those who loved him, who came to the rescue of a pregnant waitress in the Bertrucci's, and then lost his life. We don't know yet about her or her baby, but this is just, and Pat's daughter was the other person that was gravely injured, fighting for her life. We don't yet know their status. I'm going to watch the news at noon. The weirdest thing, and I think this also feeds to my anxiety, but in a way also brings me comfort, is that last night I went out with my best friend, Alice. We go out once a month for dinner, usually shopping, and we were driving to go pick a place to eat, and on my heart was to go to Bertrucci's, the very restaurant that this man ended up in, causing great harm to people. And in the mall that we would have, you know, he drove his car into the mall right where I always park my car, right where we would have been exiting, you know, the time of everything. I don't think we would have been in the restaurant at the time that he came in, but we certainly would have been leaving at about the time he came in. And I'm not saying it's all about us and, you know, like, luckily we weren't there, but those poor people were. It's just part of my anxiety. Like, I think of the what ifs. What ifs are what drives often my fear, what takes me down that road of panic. And that's where I go, the what ifs. I don't live too much in the what's happening. If I lived in the what's happening, I would probably be in a much better place. But I live in the future that may or may not happen. And praise God, most of it has not happened. But trying to control that in the moment is never easy. So to feel that grace that the Lord sent us to a different restaurant, that we were in the town but not nearby, that you know, that there was an off-duty deputy that was in the restaurant at the time, and he was able to subdue the suspect, unfortunately, by shooting him, and he did pass away from those injuries. But how many more people would have been hurt? And there's just like this whole story as it was unfolding last night, and you just have that sick feeling in your heart. I mean, it's easy for me to think, I'm going to know this person, and I'm going to know one of these people, because it's the next town over. It's in the town that my church is in. But I just knew, you know, I just knew in my heart that I was going to know the person. And when I saw her picture, I just, oh my gosh, that feeling, you know, that helplessness. And it's when your fears are meet with reality, and how do you balance these? How do you pull yourself back together? How do you get that darkness into the light so that the God can be a part of it? You know, when you keep it inside, you keep it away from God often. You think, well, I'm praying, but I'm praying in my head. But to let those words out and to let other people in, to let people be Christ in your midst, to let people be Christ in you, that's huge. You know, yesterday I was repaying a favor to my friend Karen Tost, who does just so much for me, such a great and wonderful friend. And she always drives me places. And yesterday she needed a ride to the airport. And I was like, yes, sign me up, because it's a way to repay you. On the way home, the Lord repaid me, because I ended up going the wrong way, because even with the GPS, I'm often lost. And I ended up driving by Holy Cross Family Ministries, which is on Route 138 in southeastern Massachusetts. And love this place so much. Father Payton Center, you know me and my homeboy, Father Payton. And I realized that it was like 3:30 in the afternoon. Well, they have a confession. They have confession, Sacrament of Reconciliation, every day at the Father Payton Center, Holy Cross Family Ministries, from 3 to 4. And I said, you know what? This is an opportunity. Yippee-doo. I get so excited about this. It's ridiculous. What a Catholic geek I am. To go to reconciliation. And so I was able to go and spend time with Father Leo and just speak my heart and just to have, and as you know, I'm finishing my confession and I'm like just already feeling better. He actually mirrored those words back to me by saying, you know, when we come here, when we come to Jesus and this sacrament in this way, this outward sign of God's grace, and we're given that opportunity to speak what's on our hearts, to speak the things that we're struggling with, including my fear and anxiety, which to me are, I mean, the part of it is just part of my temperament and who I am and the thorn, as St. Paul talks about, that I will have to wrestle with forever. It's the thorn that allows me to rely on his grace. There's also parts of it that I can control. And we're going to talk a lot more about that in the next section. But what the priest said back to me was, you know, when you come here, when you bring these things out, you're then free of them and we can talk about them and you're not holding them in and they're not holding you down. How insightful and beautiful is that? When you hold things in, they hold you down. God doesn't want that. He's come to give you life and give it to you abundantly, Jesus tells us in the Gospels. When we come back, we're going to look more at anxiety and fear, what causes it, and a little bit after that, the last two sections of the show, we're going to look at Gary Zimak's book. Pull that one off the shelf. Actually, I lied. I downloaded it onto my Kindle, From Faith to Fear from Liguori Publications. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Alice and Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alice and Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today we're talking about anxiety. We're talking about fear and anxiety and the things that trigger it and the things that we can do that we can control, because there's much about anxiety that you sometimes can't control. And I think that has to be first and foremost in our conversation. As we go forward today, we talk about scripture and faith and all those beautiful things, those graces that we have to help us. I also want to acknowledge that it is a thorn, as St. Paul says, that many, many of us carry, that even though we beg and beg and beg and plead for him to take away, it is still very much a part of who we are. And we will have to deal with it forever. Some of us have used medication to deal with it. I am presently not on medication, though I did tell a friend yesterday that if I continue to go this route and have so many panic attacks, as my menopause kicks in, TMI, I'm sorry, but it's the truth, is my hormones start to switch and change. It's definitely becoming more and more common for me. And I may have to revisit that. And I'm not embarrassed to revisit that, because I'm grateful that there are people that the Lord has created who have been able to figure out the formula to put together to give me, when I need it, medical help. If I, you know, if I had diabetes, I certainly wouldn't just try to deal with it with diet and exercise if that wasn't working. You know, so it's sometimes anxiety, prayer, and scripture works, but if it stops working and I find that my quality of life is deteriorating or I'm not able to function, I'm going to go seek medical help. which we actually reminds, well, let's start with here. So what started my anxiety this week? Okay. So I have this huge project that I'm not procrastinating on, but I'm having a lot of difficulty getting it completed, which then leads to a little bit of procrastination, but I really am trying to chisel away at it every day. I'm a little behind schedule on it. And for some reason, so I decided to stand, to put my computer on my breakfast nook and make like a standing desk. Seems simple enough. I've heard that that really helps you get focused. Well, I'm standing there, and for some unknown reason, I decided to do a breast examination. Yeah, I know, more TMI, but you know, that's what we're here for, right? We're girlfriends. We're friends. We can say these things to each other. So I, you know, do my little exam while I talk about procrastination, and I think I feel something. And instantly start to sweat, have a panic attack. I'm freaking out. All the worst case scenarios are going through my head. I'm sweaty palms, can't focus, totally destroyed for work for the day, which tells me, one, that the devil is a piece of poop who whispers just little triggers in your ears and then runs away while you do the rest of his dirty work. Isn't that how it works? Right? We just, this little whisper in our ear, and phew, we're done. Our work is, and here I was working on something that's a, you know, a teaching on this corporal and spiritual works of mercy. It's about God. It's bringing people closer to God. So of course he's going to attack me, and of course he's going to look for ways to keep me. He's been doing that for the last 2 weeks. Every time I sit down to do this project, something gets in my way, which gives me more resolve. But this day, it sent me totally, I mean, I'm laying on the floor then checking. I'm looking up stuff on the internet because I'm the best internet doctor in the world. Like, my degree is at WebMD, right? Like, why do we do this to ourselves? Like, they hurt now because all I did is poke and prod them for 2 days. Of course, there's a problem. I lay on the floor and I just start to pray. I'm like, Lord, I just help. Like, I didn't even really specifically ask for anything except for some peace. I'm like, you have to do this for me because I'm stuck here. A panic attack, just a mess. I actually did end up making a mammogram visit appointment and a doctor's appointment. I'm going to talk about those in a minute. So I get up from the ground and I go to my computer and I open up Facebook because that's the second place I procrastinate. And randomly, like when I talk about random, this couldn't get more random if it tried. There is open, not even like, I didn't even click on it. It's opened on my Facebook page, this instant message from this woman that I have not talked to nor seen in easily 5 years. I didn't even realize we were Facebook friends. And all the instant message is a giant vase of purple roses, which then brings me instantly to tears, because whenever I pray to Saint Therese about my health and the fears that I have about it, I always, always ask for a purple rose. One, because it's my favorite color, and two, because they're so unique and unusual that I'll know 100% that message was meant for me. This is a God that is so listening, friends. He's so listening to us, right? We think we're alone. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. I can't see God. How can he be real? When you look at God's incidences in your life, there's no denying that God is there. There's no way I or anyone else in this universe could have, at that very second, as I'm laying on the floor begging for God's solace, for there to be a random person out there on Facebook at the exact moment sending me, it was like 36 purple roses. Like, Allison, you are okay. Be strong, be sure, be confident in my love for you. Like, even if your worst fears come true, it's okay. And that's where I struggle, because there is somebody somewhere someday who lifted up their arm and felt their breast and felt a lump, and it wasn't okay. They, you know, it was cancer, and that cancer made them so sick that they died. And that should be okay too. And God reminds me all the time, if you love me so darn much, why are you so afraid of meeting me? Why? Like, how deep is your faith? How deep and wide? I'm like, it's a little shallow, Lord, little shallow. Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. That's in Mark's gospel. And every time I read those words, it's like, that's me. Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. When Jesus, when Peter's walking on the water towards Jesus and he goes under, you know, takes his eyes off Jesus for a second, and Jesus reaches down and pulls him up and says, "You, oh ye of little faith." I'm like, yeah, yep, that's me. Oh ye of little faith. That would be me. And I want to be stronger of faith. I want my faith to be so strong that I'm never shaken and that my anxieties never overcome me. And maybe someday I'll have that grace and it won't. And maybe, like St. Paul, it will always be my thorn that keeps me reliant on him. My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient in every situation. And maybe I will always need it, need him, which I hope, I mean, obviously I will always need God. But maybe this is not something that the Lord is going to take from me because he sees the good it does for me, which it would be maybe hard for us to understand that this is a good for us, especially when we read in Philippians 4:6, one of my favorites, it says, have no anxiety in anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, make your requests known to God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guide your hearts and minds. Allison Abridged version. You'll have to look it up. Philippians 4:6. It's beautiful. There's much more to it. Before I forget, though, I want to talk again. I want to talk a little bit about the doctor's appointment. What I discovered this morning as I was thinking about them is I always avoid the doctor. I'm afraid of bad news. It's part of my anxiety. I don't want to hear it. And I realized today as I was praying my prayers this morning that actually going is going to help my anxiety far more than not going. Because most likely, I'm going to hear I'm fine. The mammogram will be empty. My sister was telling me that she too has lumpy boobies. My mother has lumpy boobies. I know I felt this before. I know it's been there before. And most likely, it's just the fibric cystic disease that my sister has, my mother has, that I'm, you know, like I said, this has all been there before. It's all been fine. And I'm probably do more to go and get my fears relieved by having the test, the mammograms done, instead of avoiding them. But also, if there is something, it's getting going to get caught early. It's going to, or it's, you know, going to, I'm going to have a chance to fight it. So I think that that's part of my fears, right? Is that I don't want to know. Like I always tell God, if I'm going to have, you know, some kind of terminal illness like Parkinson's disease or ALS or whatever it is, Lord, that you're going to give me, just send a bus to smack me down. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to go through all of that. But you understand, especially where someone was saying in Bible study on Monday, Gary Zimak's book, we're going to look at one other one, but she said in the book, she said that we often get fearful of these things that we think we have, but the ones who actually are diagnosed have such a grace to handle that diagnosis, to handle what's happening, that there's a peace and a calm. So basically she just said, so when I'm nervous, I'm pretty much sure that it's not mine to be had because I don't have the grace to handle it. And we know 1 Corinthians 10:13, you're never tried beyond your strength. So whatever it is, it's good that I go to the doctors and get checked out. It's good that I get either my fears taken care of so I can focus elsewhere. And I truly do feel that that's what's happening. But if it's not, if there's something I need to deal with, then I will have that. Because worrying about something doesn't solve anything, doesn't add another moment to our lifespan, as Jesus tells us in the gospel. We need to know what's happening and be aware. So doctor's appointments are good, even though they scared the dickens out of me. It's good. It's all good. God is good, and he loves us, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and how we strengthen ourselves in the face of our anxiety and our fear. Oh, so much more to talk about, so much more to go today here at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Before we go on to today's topic, I have a question for you. How are you listening to today's show? Are you listening to the stream online? If you have not already done so, I'm going to invite you over to breadboxmedia.com to get the app. That way I can go wherever you go. How scary is that? Take me with you. The beach, work, driving in your car, take Breadbox Media with you. Download the app. It is the best way to listen to Breadbox Media. You can also, on the app, you can call in 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Send in a text. It's also a text line if you don't want to be live on air with me, but you have questions or comments, 573-4BREAD-4. You can use the app for that. You can find out more about the other fantastic shows right here on Breadbox Media. One I wanted to draw your attention to today, when we're talking about anxiety, is we have the Dr. Michelle show. And Dr. Michelle has done some fabulous shows on anxiety and fear and depression and all kinds of wonderful things. Sorry. I think I'm just a little on edge with all that's happened, and I just heard the door slam shut, and I just had to think for a minute who would be in my house, and that would be my son. Anyway, I'm back. Sorry about that. Staying focused here on A Seeking Heart. We know how easy that is for Allison to do, right? No squirrel girl here ever, right? So Dr. Michelle, live, 12 p.m. Eastern time. And if you've missed her shows on anxiety and you're interested in them, go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com and you can find out, you can look up Dr. Michelle's show there and really get some great, amazing, amazing doctor, good psychologist, good advice, good insight, very helpful. You can call into her. She's, like I said, live every day at 12 Eastern here on Breadbox Media. And we're talking today about anxiety and fear. It's not helping. It's not helping that there's like me unaware if the person downstairs is one of my kids it is. Is it the one that's late for work, or is it the one who got out of work early and didn't tell me he was getting out? So, well, if you need like 911, just letting you know. Just kidding. I know we're safe. I don't mean to talk about it. I just find that it's very funny. Like, of all the days when I'm trying to stay focused and here we are talking about anxiety, and it's the little things that trigger it, is it not? Like, I know I'm not the only one. It can be just a news story that triggers your anxiety. There's certain shows I can't watch. There's certain things I can't read. Like, I know I can't read women's magazines because any of those stories of any of those diseases or things that happen to their children, yeah, all of that becomes my new fear for the day. I start to feel symptoms. I'm a hypochondriac, so I start to feel symptoms I don't have. I start to fear things are going to happen to my kids. Yeah, there's lots of stuff that I have to avoid to keep myself healthy, mentally focused. A prayer is huge, and we're going to talk about certain Bible verses that have helped me in the past and, you know, help. Maybe they will help you, or they will help you find ones that can help you. But there's many things that I have to avoid. I just know. I know who I am. And knowing who I am, I know that I can't watch drama. I can't watch real life drama. I can't read certain things. I don't read certain books. I watch a lot of sports. Because if I want to relax and need something that's going to actually relax me, and that's, I'm not going to find that often in a certain types of books or movies or so. Yes, I absolutely need to refocus myself by making good choices. It's probably one of the reasons I love nonfiction so much, because reading nonfiction about God builds my spiritual muscles, helps me to see him in new and exciting places. It helps me to seek him out first instead of going to my worry place. Though I have decided that if you could gold medal in one thing in your life, I would be a gold medal worry wart. Like, I would totally be an anxiety Olympian. If that was possible, I'd be she. So some of them that I am kind of drawn to, well, first of all, let me talk about Saint Dimphna. She is the saint of mental illness and depression. I'm actually in the middle of a novena to her right now. And a novena is a 9-day prayer. You can find these online. I happened to be at Pauline Books and Media a few weeks ago with a friend visiting from California, Kristen Jazak. And I can't go to one of the Pauline bookstores, media centers, and not walk away with something. I just feel like I want to support them. And since I've sent so many books, I was just kind of meandering around the store going, all right, what else can I buy? And I ended up getting a little Divine Mercy statue. That's the statue of Jesus with the red and the white, bluish streams coming from his heart, representing the blood and the water that he spilt for us sins. It's his divine mercy, his forgiveness, his work on the cross that opens up the gates of heaven for us. So I got a little Divine Mercy statue, which I need to add to my studio shrine over here. And then I saw these little pamphlets of novenas, of prayers, truly just prayers to different saints. And Saint Dimphna, mental illness and depression, anxiety, she kind of just jumped out at me. So I grabbed her, and I think the Infant of Prague is another one that I grabbed and started doing just every day praying the prayers that are in there. And then you do, like, I think this one has an Our Father, Hail Mary, and a Glory Be at the end of it. I'm praying this one for the intentions of my son, who also deals with anxiety and depression and has decided not to embrace God as any kind of help in this struggle. So I felt even more necessary to pray for him, because for me, the struggle is real and it's hard, but God has made it so much easier for me. And it's one of the reasons I'm also really drawn to Gary Zimek's books, because Gary has anxiety. He talks about it so openly. He's been a guest here on the show. He's coming back in the fall. I'm very excited to have him back again. He's got several books, The Warrior's Guide to Anxiety. It's chock full. I think there's 50 Bible verses in there to help you to deal with your anxiety and your worry. So then let's go to those now. So a few of those that I am really drawn to, I've said already. One is Philippians 4:6. Have no anxiety in anything or worry about nothing, as sometimes it's put, but in everything through prayer and through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's a big part of it. We have to thank God and praise him regardless of the situation, reminding ourselves that he is God and we are not. And as I said at the beginning of the show, like, to be so afraid to meet him, it just shows my weakness of faith sometimes. But I think it also shows my humanness, like the things I can see and I cannot see. Let's think about St. Thomas. St. Thomas met Jesus, spent time with him, then upon his resurrection would not believe that he was truly risen until he saw him, touched the wounds. And what does Jesus say to him when they're finally together? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. And that's you and I. We believe though we do not see. Though Thomas proves to us, St. Thomas proves to us how difficult that is, how difficult a task that is, to believe what you cannot see. It's that grace, that extraordinary gift from God of faith that we need to ask and to embrace and to continue to work on. For me, it's nonfiction. It's spiritual reading. It's why the whole show, A Seeking Heart, is about books, because I see the importance of good reading to help us grow in faith, stay faithful, to bring others to faith. There's just so much about reading other people's journeys, the way they read the scriptures and how they bring it, that they themselves grew closer to God. There's just so much in good Christian Catholic writing. So Gary Zimek, Zimak, his book, Anxieties, The Warrior's Guide to Anxiety, 50 verses. I'm paraphrasing, but I can have these links up. Today I'm looking at From Fear to Faith, A Warrior's Guide to Discovering Peace. And Gary shares so many wonderful tidbits. He explains what fear is and that there is actually, there's a point to fear. Fear can be good. You know, fear of the Lord is a good thing. Fear in certain circumstances teaches us to like flee things, right? Fight or flight. There's a good purpose for fear. Our fear, if you're an anxious person like me, it takes over. It goes from healthy fear that helps me to keep me safe and make prudent decisions in situations to fear that overcomes me, frightens the dickens out of me, causes me panic attacks, sends me to the hospital thinking I'm having a heart attack. I was kind of pleased to see that Gary has that same experience. Because again, you think you're the only one. You keep stuff in your head, in the darkness. Who's the prince there? We know the prince of darkness. He's a liar. And he convinces us we're the only one, that something wrong with us, that, you know, this evil is going to befall upon us. But when we bring him into the light, when we speak them out loud to friends, when we bring them into reconciliation, when we just allow God's word upon them, they're lighter. You know, yoke yourself with God. With Jesus, he says, yoke yourself with me, for my burdens are light. So we take that yoke, put your yoke upon me, put your stress, your fear, your worries on Jesus's back. Like, just throw your arm around him, right? And let him help you. Like, carry me through this, Lord. I need your help. When we come back, we're going to look at chapter 6 of From Fear to Faith. And it's just jam-packed with all kinds of Bible verses that you and I can use to help us in our own anxiety-ridden lives. So please stay tuned. There's still so much more to come on A Seeking Heart with Alice and Jingus here on Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alice and Jingris here on Redbox Media. We're talking today about anxiety and fear and worrying and how our faith and the scriptures can help us overcome them. Well, they can help us deal with them. Let's not be too hasty. Let's recognize, for me, I have to recognize that there's part of it I can control and there's part of it I can't. And knowing that I don't have control over all of it is actually really helpful. To think that there's a flaw in me that I can overcome and then I don't overcome it is just defeating. It just makes you feel worse and discouraged and despaired. And God's like, don't, you know what? You are created in my likeness and image. You are created exactly the way you're supposed to be. And I think, quite honestly, and if we read St. Paul, every person has something that keeps them dependent upon God if they allow themselves to let him into that part of their life. The thorn that we beg and plead and just beg and plead for God to take away. Like, I don't want to be anxious anymore. I've been anxious since I was 9 years old. I'm good. I don't want to do this anymore. But yet it's still there. And I recognize that piece of me is what keeps me searching for God and turning to his word. And honestly, like Paul, I get to the point where I think, Lord, if you took this away and I turned away from you, I would be devastated. So if it's what I need to be seeking you with my whole heart, then this is what I want. And I accept this. I accept this cross. Everybody's got a cross. And some crosses seem bigger than others, but everybody's cross is their perfect size. Your cross promise from God in 1 Corinthians 10:13 will never be larger than your capacity to carry it. Some of us kind of wonder if God thinks we can carry Buick-sized crosses. We're like, yeah, I'm not really that strong, God. You can stop now. But he promises never to test us beyond our strength. Oh, and just real quick before I forget again, update on my dad. Thank you all for praying. He had his heart cath yesterday. They didn't find any new blockages. They're just going to keep him on some more Lasix, get rid of some more of that fluid, and send him home. So thank you for praying for my dad. Please continue to keep him in your prayers. I really appreciate that. But really, so far, so good. Got to see him on Sunday. His spirits were up. Talked to him yesterday. Spirits were still up, had the cath, and he's going to be coming home soon. So thank you again for your prayers. So let's look at these in From Fear to Faith, A Warrior's Guide to Discovering Peace, Gary Zimak. I will look at Brandon Voigt's book tomorrow called Return, you know, Inviting or Bringing Back Our Children to the Faith, which was supposed to be today's book. But after the circumstances in my town, Taunton, Massachusetts, the rampage by a sadly mentally disturbed 28-year-old male, who took the lives of two people, one being a very dear, sweet friend and fellow parishioner, 80-year-old Pat Slavin. Please keep Pat in your prayers. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon her, and may she rest in peace. And yesterday, I know I was going to talk about, you know me, I squirrel all the time. I usually get back to it. If I don't, you know what I'm going to start doing, actually, on the blog? I'm going to start a new series called Finishing Thoughts Fridays. So those squirrel moments that I never quite make it back, I'm going to find them in all the podcasts and finish them up. And if there's a thought you found that you wished I had finished, please send me an email, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. That's Allison@breadboxmedia.com. All is on at breadboxmedia.com. And I will answer that in my Finishing Thoughts Fridays. So I was going to say, and then I went to tangent back to the we'll just finish with this. So we're looking at the fear, From Fear to Faith, Warrior's Guide to Discovering Peace. Okay, that one was a bad one. I apologize. I squirreled on my squirreled and I never made it back. I should leave breadcrumbs. I usually have a pen in my hand and I make notes, but today I get a little pass, right? Because my heart is breaking. And so it's just been a really difficult, sadly, this wasn't even the first stabbing death this week that affected my life. My goddaughter's uncle, Irwin's Albert, was also murdered earlier this week. He was stabbed in an altercation. So please keep the Albert family in your prayers. Irwin's eternal rest grant unto, oh, that's what I was going to tell you. Yay. Eternal rest grant unto Irwin's, let perpetual light shine upon you, and may he rest in peace. This is what I was going to tell you. So on Twitter last night, that was where getting all my news from. One of the local newscasters posted Pat's picture, misspelled her name. And so I was like, I can't leave it like that. So I retweeted his tweet, fixed her name, and then wrote next to it, you know, how sweet and kind and caring she was, and then wrote, eternal rest grant unto her, grant unto Pat, O Lord. And I sent it out, and he retweeted it. And I was thinking later that evening that now how many people were going to be praying for Pat without even realizing they were, even if they just read the words without the intentions to pray, they're still praying. I think you get prayer points for that. So I was pretty excited about that. You never know how God's going to use you and how God's going to use your fear, your anxiety, your pain, just to be open to it. So that was kind of exciting. You know, took a lot of, I don't normally put things out like that on Twitter, but I just felt, oh, I put prayers out on Twitter, but I don't usually get into the secular kind of world stuff. But I really felt this was important to, one, have her name correct, two, let everybody know what a kind, caring, sweet, amazing woman Pat was, and to get people to pray for her. So I'm so glad I remembered where I scrolled from. Now, From Fear to Faith. So there's a couple of those that I wanted to share with you. First, Mark 2. Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Gary goes on to say, do you sometimes feel unworthy to grow close to Jesus because you're too much of a sinner? Are you discouraged because of your weak faith? Do you believe it's impossible to have a close relationship with him because you're not good enough? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Jesus' words should be very comforting to you. He wants you to have a personal relationship with the unworthy. He wants to have a personal relationship with the unworthy, the weak, and the sinners. And FYI, that's all of us. It's one of the things I really love about confession. And if there's a certain thing that I'm always confessing, it's my envy, I'll be honest, my envy and my jealousy. And I don't envy things, I envy people's opportunities and people's abilities to complete tasks and to get their books written and all those wonderful things that they work so hard to do. And I think it looks like it comes natural to them. And then I'm jealous because I can't make it happen for myself, or I'm struggling in that area. And it's so funny how many different times I've been in either giving this talk and telling people this, or more specifically in confession, and had the priest be like, you know what? I totally get what you mean. That's so comforting. Like, I totally get what you mean. And to have that kinship, which is again why I thought I wanted to talk about anxiety today, because I think there's some peace and comfort in that kinship, to know I'm not the only one. The devil wants to isolate us, but God wants us to not be isolated, to know that we're not alone, and to know that he is with us always. Some other hears, he gives this ton of, yeah, and that would be English. My first language. I think my first language is gibberish. English came later and not very quickly. So again, the book today I'm looking at is from Fear to Faith, Gary Zimak, Ligori Publications. And he gives you in this chapter 6, I love this, just a bunch of topics, and you can like create your own bag of goodies, you know, your own tools, your own bag of tools to help you. And those tools are scripture verses. So whatever it is, do you need help listening to God? Do you need purpose? Do you need help with your weakness and your sins, your sincerity, burdens? Come to me, all who labor and rest, labor and burden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11. Gratefulness. You know, are we coming back to God and thanking him when he has blessed us? You know, yesterday when he sent me those roses, he's so kind. What a great guy who keeps things fresh and new, right? We talked about Chesterton with Dale Alquist earlier this week, or was it last week? Friday, last week, when we were talking about Chesterton has said, it's not, you know, expect not, get not. It's blessed are those who don't expect anything, because they will be gloriously surprised. Let me tell you, I was pretty gloriously surprised when that picture of all those purple roses showed up on my Facebook, and I felt like the Lord was truly listening, truly carrying me through that fear that I was feeling at that time, that anxiety over the possibility of something being wrong. Trust. Here's Mark 10. I'll leave you with this one today. Mark 10:15. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Think of the trust the child has. And trust is built by a need being met again and again. A baby is hungry, we feed it. Baby is wet, we change it. A baby is lonely, we hold it. And after each one of those needs is met, the child's response is to relax and to feel cared for and to feel loved. And if you can't remember where God has been, take some time today in the quiet, be still and know that I am God. Make a list. Where has God been in your life? Where has your need been? Where has God met it? And then you can relax in that, knowing that he is carrying those burdens with you. Anxiety is real. You're not alone. I think we're going to be doing a lot more talk on this in the days to come. Thank you for journeying with me today here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Redbox Media.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.